Hello and welcome to this week's episode. I'm joined by Lucy Sophia Thompson of the Bravery Trust. We talk everything about how she started up a charity from scratch and the power of collaboration. I hope you enjoy. How are you doing then?
Not too bad, how are you?
I'm doing good, even better today because it's sunny.
Oh yes, I know, it makes such a difference to the mood, doesn't it?
Literally, it's night and day between myself last week and this week. I was so doom and gloom last week.
I know.
This week it's like full of possibilities.
Yeah, so, I think as well, like the other day, Nicola Sturgeon had made kind of the start of easing of restrictions, so I think that's kind of boosted everyone's mood, and the weather definitely just pushes all positivity through the roof, so yeah.
I agree, we're finally getting that light at the end of the tunnel.
I know, it's been a long time coming, 12 months.
Exactly, and what's one more month? And
exactly.
Then we're more or less back to normal. So.
Yeah, woo! Fingers crossed.
Well, Lucy, I've invited you on today to talk about your charity, which is insane because you're only 21. Are you 22 now?
22 now.
Oh my goodness. Sorry, I'm still recovering from missing a year of our life.
I know.
Well, we can maybe say you're 21.2 to live your best 21-year-old
life. I launched it when I was 21, but obviously I've had a birthday since then. So, yeah, 22, 21, yeah.
All right. Well, you were in your early 20s when you launched this, which is an incredible achievement. Can you give us a little idea what the Bravery Trust is and a little overview about what your mission is?
Of course. So the Bravery Trust is a Scottish-based charity that collects unused donated bras and sanitary towels that we take these in as donations, and we send them to communities across the globe in areas of need that are badly affected by period poverty. So for example, our first community is in Zambia with a group of about 100 girls there. We're expanding. We're small, but we are expanding, and we've just sent away our first batch of bras and sanitary towels. So I'm very proud of the board of trustees and myself. It's been a long time coming, so yeah, it's mad. We're so small, but we're making such a big difference, and you know, I'm so excited to see like the potential of where this could go.
Definitely. You've hit your first milestone for sure by getting your first batch out. That's such an achievement, and quite rightly, you should be proud. Mm-hmm. So interestingly, when did the idea for this first come about? Because you touched on that it's been a long time coming.
So originally, I had the whole period poverty topic kind of addressed to me back in like 2017, actually. And I didn't really know much about it. And obviously, like, I've never suffered from period poverty. So obviously, I wanted to learn more about how people do actually suffer from it. And as well as that, my friend actually ended up like collecting bras one day. And I was like, why are you collecting bras? And, you know, she tried to explain it all to me. And I was like, oh my God, that's such an amazing idea. Like trying to expand on it, and I kind of thought, oh, maybe I'll try that, like that's quite a good idea. But obviously, like, I think back in 2017 I was only like 18 or 19, so I was so young, and just in, like the early years at uni, so I didn't really have much time to start a charity. And I briefly mentioned it to like an ex-boyfriend, and he was like, oh, don't be daft, Lucy, like, you know, you're so young, like, why would you want to do that? And I was like, oh, so I kind of like went off it for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And then back in when we did Miss Scotland together, I was kind of like half thinking about it. And then I kind of was like, I'll just wait. Maybe this isn't the right timing. And then when I met Jodie Weir through Miss Scotland, I eventually met her mum, who was actually away in Zambia during the time that we were doing Miss Scotland, and I literally got to speaking to her one day, and she was like, oh, like, I think that you could actually make quite a difference if you kind of, I kind of explained my thought to her. She was like, no, I've got the perfect connections. Like, I think you could really do this, Lucy. So back in April last year, when kind of the pandemic started, I was like, do you know what? Let's just do this. Let's see what happens. I started looking into, like, you know, the logistics of it, the legal side of it. And it kind of just started rolling from there. And I obviously, like, I was just finishing up my degree. So I wasn't really, like, investing a lot of time into it, but I was obviously just taking over, like, the kind of logistics of it. And then as soon as that dissertation was handed in, I had, like, 2 days off, and then I just literally just started, you know, planning the Bravery Trust. So it's been about a year now of starting the whole background work of it. And obviously in December, we kind of launched. So, yeah, it's been about a year. Well, probably more than that, but a year of planning, at least.
I bet you it's flown by as well, though, because you've had so much to do, and it's just, like you said, kept snowballing.
Yeah, definitely.
I love that it's through Jodie's mum, though. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was literally the weirdest thing. The first time I actually met Jodie's mum, I really connected with Jodie's mum, and she just said, she was like, I have this connection, they're looking for someone to help them fundraise and do all this kind of stuff. And I was like, do you know what, I'm actually just going to start this, because it's like a sign almost that it was meant to be. And Jodie's part of it as well, so she's the fundraising and events director, so it's quite nice to have her part of it as well.
Yeah, and you obviously are both great friends, so yeah. It's quite a cool journey to have together.
Yeah.
Can you tell us how one actually goes about starting their own charity? Because most people would normally fundraise for an existing charity.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious to know what the actual process is of the idea to then register in and then beyond.
So it is quite a lengthy process. And to be honest, if it was easy, there would be a lot of charities out there, but because there is a lot of things you have to think about, not a lot of people actually end up starting a charity. So basically what happens is, I kind of thought about it, kind of looked into, you know, where is the background knowledge of what period poverty is, and you know, the difference that wearing a bra can make in certain countries, for example. So doing just like that simple background, because obviously that's kind of like the main focus of the charity. Then obviously registering a charity can take up to at least 100 days anyway. So you have to have all your governing documents, which I actually submitted my governing documents, but they were wrong. I'd done them wrong, and you know what, like, I'm 21.
That's so relatable. Oh my goodness, the amount of things I submit that people hand back saying, can you actually redo that?
Yeah, yeah, honestly. But thank God, a few of my uni friends they study law, so I actually got a couple of them to look over the governing documents.
Oh,
so
brilliant.
Yeah, that was really handy. And then obviously to become a charity, you actually need to have trustees. So the minimum is three. I think it's three. Yeah, I believe it's three. So I kind of was like, right, I need to think about who I want to actually ask and have on board. So obviously, good old Leslie, my mum, got roped in.
Legend.
So she's kind of like the person who, if I'm not present, she has all my documents, just because we live together. So there's her, and then there's two girls I met through university and a girl who I went to school with, actually. So when they were appointed, then there's more legal documents that you have to send away. Obviously, you need to start set up a bank account, which the Bravery Trust is still undergoing because of COVID. Like, COVID has really dampened on a lot of things. And then obviously you actually need to build on like contacts and stuff, and then, you know, simple things like marketing, you know, getting the website and, you know, really focusing on like a mission statement, finding your values, aims, yeah, goals, long-term goals. So it is a lot of development. And the thing is, when you have trustees, you have to get approval from everyone, because it's a group thing. And mm-hmm. the thing that quite a lot of people forget about charities is it is a legal thing. So
yes,
if things are wrong, mm-hmm. the Scottish charity regulators can get involved. So you have to be quite careful with, you know, terminology, representation, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's basically like running your own business, but it you is. Don't it make any like money. That. Yeah. So I love
it's
it.
It's not easy. No, by the sounds of it. No,
certainly not.
Did you know any of this beforehand? Did you know anyone that had created a charity before?
No.
Or was this all new?
No, this was brand new to me. So when I finished my degree, so in the summer last year, I literally sat and I educated myself a lot on Open Learn, non-profit organization courses. I did a Harvard course specific to the non-profit industry. So mm-hmm. I really had to learn a lot of things before I was able to actually implement that knowledge into real life.
Yeah.
So but I'm glad I did, but I'm still learning. I was on the phone to Rachel the other day, and she's helping Rachel from the Scotland from our year, and she's helping me with PR. So
oh brilliant.
Yeah, so she
I love that everyone's coming together on this. This is great.
It's so good. But she actually was saying to me, like, because she works in the nonprofit sector, so mm-hmm. she was saying that, you know, everything that you learn, just note it down, because you one day you'll look back and you'll think, oh my god, remember when I did that wrong, or, you know, when I learned this. And it's so important to learn from mistakes and stuff, and I'm certain every single day, Karen, I swear I'm learning something new.
That's the best way to learn, though.
Exactly,
just throw yourself into it and run with it, and clearly you've got a passion for it, so it's not as if you're going to be intimidated by challenges.
Yeah,
you're going to want to push through, and then that's where the learning happens.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, like you learn from mistakes, and that's how you move forward and make a difference. So yeah.
Of course. Oh, that actually sounds so exciting. Yeah. As well. So you've already stated that the idea of the charity is that you rely on bra and sanitary donations. Mm-hmm. When you receive these donations, you send them off, and the communities that you're partnering with really benefit from that. But how do you actually send them over? Because it's quite a bulky shipment. You know, are there processes for that to make your life a little bit easier?
So as of just now, because of COVID and the pandemic and stuff, it's a lot more difficult right now than, say, like there wasn't a pandemic in the way. But so, for example, like that first community was 100 girls. So roughly we send like 100, 150, obviously depending on their sizes as well. So like I'm not going to send, mm-hmm. you know, bras that are just not going to fit them, because that's not doing anyone any favors. So what we do is we just send what is appropriate. And there's obviously a lot of legal things when receiving things on their side. It does depend on each country that we send stuff to, so it varies. But a lot of the money is personal investment right now from myself, purely because we've not been able to set up the bank account just yet because of COVID. But obviously, as soon as we start fundraising, obviously that's that covers from like our profit with donations, money donations. So yeah.
Yeah, of course. And that's something I think it's easy to forget. Fundraisers are all about people mixing and interacting one-on-one. You can obviously do a sponsored run or whatever, and people can donate over GoFundMe or etc. Yeah. But so much fundraisers do rely on non-pandemic circumstances, and your life definitely will be so much easier when things are back up and running and you can actually get some exciting fundraisers.
Definitely, like that's one thing that I was a wee bit apprehensive at the start of this whole process, because I was kind of like, am I going to be able to do this during a pandemic? Because obviously the charities rely a lot on donations, whether that's, you know, bras or sanitary towels or money donations. That's kind of how, because we're not profit, we rely solely on that. So I kind of thought to myself, do I do it? But do you know what, like, if I have to put personal investment in for the first little while, what's the harm in that? Do you know what I mean? It's my little baby, so I don't mind.
Yeah, of course.
It's, do you know what, when things open, we have all these plans and ideas. It's just we want it to be completely safe first, because obviously we want to comply within, you know, legal regulations. Yeah, no, we're really looking forward to being able to eventually, you know, have like a launch party. Like, that's the most simple thing ever, is just to have like a launch party and then have fundraisers and do this and that. But yeah, we have a bunch of ideas. It's just when it's safe to do so.
Of course, all in good time. Yeah. And you do, because you're official now and you've started off with a great reputation, you want to keep that and ensure that you're being responsible for when people are getting together. So, no, that's great to hear. And yeah, patience is a virtue in this case, for sure. Daily Delights is Midlothian based and specialises in occasional cupcakes. Their cupcakes are absolutely delicious. I can confirm this myself. And Jade, who owns the business, makes the most gorgeous cupcakes. So make sure you head to @DailyDelights to check them out and make your order. Alchemy by Ashley is a soy, vegan, organic homeware brand handmade locally in Fife. Many well-known home fragrance products emit high levels of chemicals into your home, but Alchemy by Ashley is kind to your lungs and the essential oils within the products are good for your mind and body. Alchemy by Ashley has kindly given our listeners 15% off all products. Just quote Galvanize when you're at the checkout. You have already mentioned that we were together in Miss Scotland 2019 along with Jodie as well, which obviously was such a great experience.
So much fun.
And you know, from being a part of it, that one of the biggest elements of the competition is your charitable work and how you impact the community. So I'm curious to know if being part of Miss Scotland was something that inspired you to create the trust or helped push you in the right direction.
So one thing I'll say is my parents have been, you know, very good to me and my sister growing up, and they've really encouraged like their work ethic and to always remain very appreciative of the life that we've got. And I think it's so important that my parents have told me and my sister, give back to the community because of how fortunate we have been. And I've always been a very charitable person, very selfless person. I think I first heard of Miss Scotland in like 2015 when Mari did it. I was actually dating Mari's cousin at the time. back in high school.
It's so funny how these things are one big loop.
I know. And I actually remember I texted her cousin. I was like, do you mind if I message your cousin just asking like a bit more about it? Because obviously I'd seen her do the whole thing and I was like, oh, I just absolutely fell in love with the whole idea. I was like, it's just so cool, got to do it. But back in 2017 was kind of like when I first had the idea of the Bravery Trust, but obviously like I was just way too young to, and I didn't have the confidence to do, you know, an entire charity by myself. So I definitely was fundraising for Chaz at the time. I've done that for like the past 10 years, and you know, when I did Miss Scotland, Chaz was my charity. But looking back now, like if I only had the guts and the time to have my own charity, I would have 100% done it. But Chaz has been a very close charity to like me and my family's hearts for such a long time. So it kind of felt right to do Chaz as like the main charity. And you know, if I could be in the nonprofit industry and make a living from it, I totally would. But, you know, it's just that that's just not possible right now, especially with a startup charity. So I would, you know, do fundraising events if that could be like my full-time job, but it just it can't be right now. But yeah, no, I definitely thought about it before I did Miss Scotland, but it just that wasn't like my main focus by that point. So yeah, no, Chaz was my little heart at the time.
I remember the fundraising that you did for it as well, and it's interesting that you raised the point about, obviously you were super young, but you felt you needed more confidence.
100%.
I hope that that's something that came with doing Miss Scotland. I think it has, been knowing you before and after. You definitely seem more confident, reassured.
I'm a different woman, Karen.
As am I, girl. But it's true. When you put yourself out like that with any project, it's so safe to just kind of have it within your own head and do the behind the scenes, but when it actually comes to putting things out there, it does take a lot of guts, and it was right for you at that time.
I mean I think sometimes as well, like, I think a lot of people perceive entering Miss, you know, whether it's Miss World or Miss Universe, blah blah blah, whatever you enter into, people have a mixed judgment on it, just from, you know, what they see in the media and stuff like that. But quite a lot of the time is actually when you apply for it. If you're applying for it for a reason other than doing it for charity, then you're not in it for the right reasons. And I think a lot of the girls, especially like the first time, I've only done it once, but a lot of the girls were doing it for charity, and that's what I loved the most about the whole experience was a lot of people were doing it for charities close to their heart, not for, you know, the tiara and the whole going to Miss World. Like, even though it's an experience, it was so nice to like see 18 girls, I think it was 18, 17 or 18 of us, doing it for charity and actually being for that specific reason rather than, you know, what people assume that we do it for. So
and it was all these young women giving back and really just putting their heart and soul into their projects. And God, the if you think about the collective effort from everyone, it's so amazing. And you can see so many people just continue that, like yourself, going into the charity
space. Like, I was in my third and fourth year at uni, like, I was event director for the charity fashion show at Aberdeen University, and like, obviously that's that entire society sends money to local Aberdeenshire charities. And I honestly, I can't even explain how much fun it is just fundraising. Like, it's just the weirdest thing, just organizing
really
cool
fun
events, and, you know, getting a group of good entertaining people together all for a great cause. Like, it's actually such an amazing experience that you can remember for forever. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just I love it. It's so much fun.
And I think when people are in that mindset that they're doing something for charity, they're willing to do it more, and they're willing to 100%. Go out of their comfort zone, which is an experience in itself. Like, aside from the amazing work you're doing for raising awareness and injecting money into worthwhile causes, it's so funny how, for example, look at the Full Monty. Who would have thought that celebrities would whip their clothes off? But it's in the name of charity, and no matter how manic it sounds, people want to help. And I think that's what I love so much about fun.
Like, it's all about fun and making memories, and, you know, that's the one thing that I just absolutely loved about the whole, you know, I think it was like 4 months that we did Miss Scotland for. Like, that was just like the craziest 4 months of my life, and it just, there was like one event after the other, one, you know, Miss Scotland challenge after another. It was just hectic time. Hectic time.
Yeah, mental. Absolutely
so
mental.
Much fun.
Fun. So much fun. And clearly, as well, you've gotten amazing contacts out of it, and some really great friends. And people that are definitely going to aid you.
100%. Like,
projects.
I mean, Rachel literally she reached out to me and was like, if you need any support for PR, just send me a message. And we actually had a meeting a couple of weeks ago, and she's going to prep me for like newspaper articles and all that kind of stuff. So it's just brilliant. So nice just to have, you know, that contact to just help you with something that I'm quite clearly not good at myself, and I do need people to.
It's not good. It's just been there yet.
Yeah, and like learning, I do, and experience. I think the one thing that I have learned from starting up in a charity from the beginning is it's okay to admit that you're not good at something specific. Like, I personally don't think I'm very good at marketing. So like one of my other trustees does that whole side of marketing, and you know, it's okay to have other people who are better at certain things than yourself to just be able to let them get on with it. And one thing I'm absolutely dreadful at is not like giving other people tasks, because I'm such a control freak, because it's like my little baby. So I'm like, I want to get that before you do anything. My trustees put up with a lot of crap for me, that's for sure.
Oh, you know what, at least they're all
exactly.
Do you know what I mean? They know what they're signing up for. That's so true. You know what, it's good to divvy out these things, because you're all at the end of the day working towards a common goal. So, and it makes your life so much easier, and you're able to focus on definitely your tasks and what's important for pushing it forward.
This past the month of March, actually, we've been recruiting more committee members, so we're actually trying to expand.
We're,
I think we're aiming to have like an extra 7 people, but the thing is, like, every single person we've interviewed, I'm just like, we have to have them, and I'm gonna have to, like, at some point, like, you know, realize, like, maybe not to have too many people at the beginning, because obviously it's harder then to have everyone's opinions and listen to their side, and but hopefully, like, as we get bigger, we can obviously then have like more and more people as part of the committee. But there's like less for me to do, and give responsibility and opportunity for other people who want to volunteer. And it's actually crazy the amount of people that have shown interest in the topic, because obviously, like, period poverty is you know, probably still quite a taboo subject with a lot of people, and I think it's only gonna get easier if we all talk about it. But I'm actually really surprised, like, the amount of people that have actually, you know, come up to me and kind of been like, no, major respect for actually, like, talking about it, because not a lot of people, you know, talk about all these kind of body signs and symptoms of specific things that go on in a female's body.
Definitely. And I think that's a conversation we're so lucky that has had a massive impact, especially in the last couple of years that I've noticed. People are talking about it, and the more and more groups that come out the woodwork inspire others like yourself to keep generating that conversation. And I think it's all so positive, and it's amazing that that's also part of what you do, is spark discussion.
Like, it's really important. And I think what our community tries to do is, whether or not we can involve everyone, but definitely, like, make sure that we have relevant information and we're sharing it. So whether or not people want to interact with us, as long as we provide information, so people know, for, like, for example, like, signs and symptoms of breast cancer, and, like, I think it's so relevant. Like, my mum had to go under breast surgery last year, and, like, that kind of was another thing, like, why I wanted to kind of talk about, like, signs and symptoms of body irregularities for females, because a lot of us aren't actually aware of a lot of the signs, so then sometimes it sadly is left way too late. So I think it's important for us to kind of highlight things, and, you know, that's why I'm kind of glad that my mom is involved, because she obviously can help with, like, a lot of, you know, that kind of side of stuff. So it's so important. Literally, like, I can't even stress it enough to girls, like, you really have to check yourself.
Check yourself. And make those smear test appointments every 3 years. just keep on top 100%, of absolutely 100%. It's, yeah. And we're lucky, especially in Scotland, that we have a lot of help. But we just need to make use of it. And there's absolutely no shame in getting checked.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. And as well, like, just to say as well, like, in Scotland, we're so fortunate now to actually have, you know, period poverty is going to hopefully by the end of next year not going to be a thing for anyone, because
eradicated.
And I think as well, like, New Zealand are starting to provide that in universities and schools. That was a recent thing as well. So I think it's so important that we ourselves in Scotland recognize how fortunate we actually are.
And we should be the 100% for change as well, show everyone how great it is, and 100%, how important it is. So, and of sure you'll be able to spread that message further afield, because obviously your charity's global, which is insane. So just for any potential volunteers that may be listening, what would you like volunteers to come and do for the charity?
Basically right now we're kind of recruiting operational directors, research and development directors, social media directors, fundraising and events, and then charity representatives. So kind of what the original plan was to have a group of people specific to, you know, if you have an interest in learning more about period poverty, you know, body irregularities, the difference a bra can make to a young girl in an area of need. Just like if you're interested at all in just doing research, get in touch, because we will literally assign you to be one of the directors for that certain department, because we constantly are researching, looking into different areas, different communities that we can actually help. And I think it's so important because that is kind of like what we drive off of, is literally just continuously finding, researching communities globally. Social media, if you're literally interested at all in like trying to make like cool graphics that, you know, are eye-catching, like we literally need people who have an eye for that. And, you know, I'm a business student, but I'm terrible at marketing. It's just not my forte at all. But there are certainly loads of, you know, ideas out there that maybe like I haven't thought of. So and we do need people to, you know, collect bras in different areas of Scotland and England, and literally like send them to our way. Like everything is washed and dried at my house. So literally like we just
it's a better process.
But basically like we just need people to, you know, just simply be a representative of the charity and collect bras where you can, whether it's from donated Tesco's or, you know, like we literally got, there was a pharmacy in Aberdeen who literally donated 150 bras like 2 weeks ago, and one of my friends drove down and actually donated, like gave me the box, because obviously like that's just part of, you know, being part of a charity representative, like that was just one of her jobs. And, you know, just doing simple stuff like that and just being part of it, like it makes such a difference.
And it seems like such an exciting part of the journey to join, because you're so fresh, you're so new, and it's always going to get bigger and better.
And I think as well, so like, because we are so small and we are starting out, like, I can't even express how, like, we are looking for more ideas, because I found like even like when I had ideas and I was telling like my trustees about it, they were like, oh, what if we did this instead? And I was like, oh my god, I didn't even think of that. And like it goes to show that the more people you have on board, the more ideas that you have and you can expand on them. So yeah it's just if you want to be involved, 100%, like just apply. We literally just have a little like informal interview, and I literally just speak to you and just get to know you. Literally, we're just so fortunate to have so many people interested right now. It's so great.
Yeah, it is. So for anyone listening, I will put the post up and I'll tag the Bravery Trust, and you can just go directly to their Instagram from there.
Yeah.
It's as easy as that. You've already touched on your exciting plans for this year now that the world is opening back up again and potential launch events. Can you give us any little hints into what might be in store for the Bravery Fest?
It's so hard to say because I don't want to like say anything in case, you know, we go back into another lockdown and all this kind of stuff. But 100%, as soon as it's safe to do so, a launch party will happen. Definitely. And then we are planning to have like two big fundraisers each year. So one summer one and one winter one. So potentially a ball. If that, you know, I'm just like imagining it right now, but I'm just thinking like, oh, is this even going to be possible this year? Like, I just don't know. But there will be like a lot of fundraising events that can be done in lockdown style coming up.
Yeah. And what about possible expansion? You've kind of mentioned that you're partnered with the community in Zambia. Are you hoping to?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So our plan is, so like every second month we send out to different communities. Zambia has been our first one, just purely because we wanted to just do one, just to see what the success rate would be. And also as well, I didn't know if this was going to take off. I had absolutely no expectations. I just had no idea. And obviously, like, we've tripled our targets in the first quarter. So I'm super excited about that.
Brilliant.
But depending how our first year goes, there is possible talk of expanding the Bravery Trust in Australia. Not a lot of people actually know that. I have contacts out there who are interested, but obviously it's a lot of responsibility right now. So we would have like what we do in Scotland, but in like Sydney, for example. We're just trying to make it as genuine as possible, but also we want to research specific areas that really do need the support, because at the end of the day, that's what we're here for.
Of course.
The pandemic has made everything so much more difficult. So we do expand it, for example, like to Plan International, and you know, it's all about using different other charities and even just like filtering through them. So like that's what we kind of do, but we have a list of areas that we're aiming to move into. It's just how the pandemic is affecting that right now. So yeah, it's all kind of
baby steps at the moment.
Yeah,
but it sounds exciting. There's definitely big plans ahead, clearly. I cannot wait to see how you guys grow, and of course you've always got massive support here, and I mean that on a personal level.
No, thank you so much.
Podcast, so happy to help in any way we can as well. Before you go, Lucy, would you mind giving us a quote that you love?
I always say, act on any thought or idea because you never know who you can support in doing so. And I think like obviously that kind of is very much what my whole thing with the Bravery Trust was, is I thought expanded on my thoughts and ideas, and obviously like I have made a bit of a difference in someone else's life, even if it is just now 100 girls, but
of course,
you know, just expand on any small thought or idea.
Yes, I love that. And like you say, 100 girls that otherwise wouldn't have been helped within that capacity. So it's insane. And it just shows you have the guts to just go for it. And even like you mentioned that you were a bit nervous about doing it last year because of the pandemic, but you trudged along and looked paying off now.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in everything happens for a reason as well. So, you know, the pandemic's obviously come at a time where it's challenged everyone, but it just goes to show what you can do when you're faced with challenges in life. So yeah.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode, and of course a huge thank you to Lucy. If you're interested in signing up to the Bravery Trust, just go on their Instagram. We'll tag this all in our post. Thank you again for taking the time to rate us. It really does make a difference, and if you can, please spread the word and get your family members to do it too. Thank you.